Okay, we'll start with who we have. I'm going to pass out what we're going to do. So today we're going to start in the opposite order of what we did last time. Last week, we started with watching and listening, and then we didn't have too much time to look at some images, some paintings. So I'm going to pass those out now, and that's what we're going to talk about first, and how it relates to John's gospel and how we move through this drama. So the first one I passed out is what I gave you last week. I wasn't expecting you to bring it, but that's why I made some extras. This one that I'm passing out now is what we'll do today. So you don't have to look at the one I just gave you, but the first one is the one we're going to start with. Well, let's pray first. Here we go. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Heavenly Father, who did send your Son to sinful men and did lay on him the grievous burden of the cross, that we might see and know the glory of your holy love. Grant that our faith in him may not be shaken by adversity or daunted by the threat of it, but that we may ever follow steadfastly the way that leads to perfect fellowship with him, and so we with you. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okay. So this is the Taking of Christ by Caravaggio from 1600, more or less. Where in the scene on St. John's Passion is this? Does this take place from what we saw last week? Like beginning, middle, end kind of thing. Where is this in the grand drama of things? You guys remember? Say again? Right at the beginning, right? He starts with Jesus is across the Brook Kidron, and these soldiers come, and there's this scene. What are some things we said about this painting? Just the painting itself, not about necessarily what we remember from the biblical text.
The only one who looks like calm and in control is Jesus.
That's right. Everybody else is freaking out. Seems like everybody else is doing something, right? And one would say, well, Jesus looks like he's doing nothing. We know that that's not true.
Does Jesus have his hands crossed?
Yes, he does. Yeah. He makes no motion to lift his hands. And that's one of the things that I picked up in this painting is that you can see, you can't see a lot, but you can see a lot of hands. There's one on the left up there, Judas's hand, the soldier's hand right above Judas's, Jesus' hand, hands clutching the red tunic, and then finally, apparently that's supposed to be Peter, some people say, but it is the artist himself who painted himself into that image.
Is that the tunic of the young man?
Well, so that's the thing. I was thinking about that, but people keep saying that this man screaming is John, and traditionally, right, the young man who screams and runs isn't John, but Mark. But we can interpret it various ways. And one of the things that we're supposed to notice here in this painting is where's the light coming from? Every time we see a painting, we look at where's the light coming from? So which side of the painting is the light coming from?
From the left.
So what's ironic about that? The lantern is on the right. Isn't that funny? Yet there seems to be very little light because Judas's head in the back is completely dark. Yet there's a lamp right behind. Again, we're not going to read too much into it, but it's just these things that the artist chooses where Jesus is very bright and there's some light coming from his left and yet this darkness on the right. It's also interesting that he has one of Jesus' disciples being in the darkness on the right. So yeah. Any last comments about this picture before we move to the next one?
You mentioned how the word passion is from the word for suffering.
Yeah.
It also means like passivity, is there a sense in which the Passion is also saying that Jesus is passive?
I don't know enough about the word history to say that those two come from the same root. Theologically and biblically speaking, yes, 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 right? We get that in the Old Testament, and then we get that also in the gospel accounts of the... And never is Jesus fighting back, right? He's just letting himself be taken in this journey. Yeah. Okay. Any other comments about this? The Caravaggio, please.
Jesus is the only one looking at the viewer toward us as we view it. Everyone, he's not necessarily, his eyes aren't open, but...
His eyes are at least
He's facing us.
Ooh, that's good. I did not pick up on that. Wonderful. That's right. You know what? That guy with the lantern, maybe that's us. Like, we're trying to see what's going on, too.
He's kind of like looking over.
Yeah, like... What's going on? And we're not doing anything about it, either. Because one guy... But yeah, if Jesus is facing anybody, it's us. That's really good. And then he can see the expression on people's faces, specifically Jesus' forehead and Judas's forehead. Yeah. It's very nice. And the only people gripping Jesus are those who are betraying him, right? That's not just in the painting. That's in the biblical account. The only people who laid hold of him are the people that are betraying him or going to kill him or arresting him. The people that should be holding on to Jesus are running away. Yeah. Cool. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So let's turn our attention then to the one that I passed out for today. It is hours later, and Jesus is in this situation. What are some big events that happened between this first painting and the second one I gave you in Jesus' passion?
Trial before Annas and Caiaphas.
Okay, so he's already gone before the Jewish authorities. And why can't the Jewish authorities do anything with Jesus? Because they can't, right, yeah. So they have to bring him somewhere else to the bosses. So there is that. And then what else? What was the big scenes that, well, I keep saying, I want to say that Bach chooses to put in his Passion, but he doesn't because he's literally just picking up the text from John. So what's another big scene between that we saw and that we heard sung between this and this? So it's the Caiaphas. And then what else? Who's the other big character in John 18? Not just Jesus, not just the Jews, but Jesus' friend. Oh, it's all over. It was all over last week.
Peter.
Yeah. That's right. That's there. There's as much about Peter as there's about Jesus in chapter 18. Or at least that's what Bach seems to, because who's Peter? Essentially. Who's saying, I'm going to follow Jesus everywhere? And then when Jesus calls you to go somewhere with him, you're like, eh. So he spends that much time because of you. So that's where he's preaching to us. And that's so beautiful. But today we get Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate.
I thought all of these trials, and whether it was the Romans or whether it was Herod, happened at night.
The Caiaphas is for sure. And then the morning, they took Jesus to, when it was light out, they took Jesus to Pilate. You don't want to mess with them, you know, with the Romans while they're sleeping. You know, let sleeping dogs lie.
Were they also not supposed to? Like the Sanhedrin wasn't supposed to meet at night.
That's right, breaking the rules. So let's talk about what's going on here and how you might hear it reflected in what we watch. All right, so what do you expect to hear from knowing the biblical text, which we will read in a second? But I want us to look at the picture first. So what do you see in this picture that you expect to hear in St. John's Passion, Bach's St. John Passion.
I don't think she was there in the Bible, but I've got to assume that the girl facing away is Pilate's wife.
Exactly, right? Claudia, we call her. That's exactly right. So she's facing away because, what's the story?
She don't have anything to do with this guy.
Why? How does she know this?
She had a dream.
Exactly. So she has a dream, and she says, yeah, don't. 10-foot pole between you and this guy. Don't touch him. So that's seen here. But we don't hear anything because that's not in the Gospel of John. John isn't so worried about that. But that's a good catch. Looking at the scene, what do we expect to hear then? And knowing a little bit about the Gospel of John. Conversations, dialogue.
What is true? Is that from John?
Yes, it is. We're going to go to that right here. That's right. What else? Who do you have to look hard in this picture to see? And I think it's very funny because I never used to notice this until I did this class and was looking at this image last week.
Is Barabbas a Jew somewhere?
He is not. That's a good point. Where are they?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's somebody up here.
They're up high and?
And
they're behind a railing, right? You can't actually see an entire person down there. And look at their faces. Look at the mouths that you see open, the one right to the left of Pilate, and fingers pointing in the eyes. We're definitely going to see that in and hear it in Bach's St. John Passion. Here's a note about Bach's St. John Passion, and you get to be the judge. Bach's St. John Passion in the 19th century was deemed anti-Semitic because of how Bach portrays the crowd. And what's interesting about it is that Bach is picking up the biblical text. He's not adding text. But the way that the choir shouts, "Crucify him," I want you to really pick up on that because that's what we'll do today. We're only doing Jesus with Pilate. We're not going further to him. We're going to stop at, and he was taken to be crucified. That's where we'll stop today. But I want you to listen to how the crowd shouts and sings these shouts that are coming from the people down here. It's really amazing. Some societies, musical societies, don't perform Bach's St. John Passion. Because of all these sensitivities. And it's very interesting because he's just portraying the biblical text. And these people shouting for a man to be killed. Like, those are the facts. They're shouting for a man to be killed. But we will see that, and I want you to be sensitive to that. But some obvious things about this painting are the two people that have the most dialogue in this part, you can't see their faces in the painting. Right? And that's what this artist, 19th century Italian artist, decided to do, is you are very removed from the painting. Maybe at best you're a person in Pilate's circle. At worst, you're a fly on the wall. But you're not part of the crowd. You're not down at the crowd looking up at Jesus' face or Pilate's face. You're kind of removed. Who's seen this painting before? It's not too, it's middle of the road. It's not really well known, yet it's not so obscure. And Jesus has not been what? How does his body look? Yeah, he looks pretty clean, right? There's no blood dripping off of him or anything. But he does have what on? The crown. Yeah, and the robe. Yep. That's right, and his hands are bound. That's right. So, what I would like to do with you now is to actually read the text. Because part of what we do here is to do these three things. Read, look, and then we listen.
Is this his name of the painting, Behold the Man?
That's right.
But he's not been scourged yet.
That's right. Hey, don't take me... But that's right. Yeah. You are right. You're right on the timing of things, right? Let me get the scripture out here. I really like what we did last time in going around and us getting to hear everybody's voice. So we will literally pick up from where we left off. We left off at John 18:27, that ended with, Peter again denied it, and at once the rooster crowed. That's where last week we left off. And then we pick up today at verse 28. Let's go this way again. So, where would you like to start on verse 28 up here?
Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the government's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover.
So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?"
They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you."
Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death."
This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die.
So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?"
Okay, can I stop right there? In the text from 28 until right now, have we seen Pilate before this scene ever in the script, like in John? The answer is no. So do we have any dialogue between Pilate and anybody else that do we know that somebody told him? How do I ask this question? Does the biblical narrative show that somebody told Pilate that this guy is saying that he's the king of the Jews? So that's why Jesus asked this question. Somebody had to tell Pilate what this guy is, but we don't get that. We don't get that conversation between somebody else and Pilate. Pilate already knows this. So Jesus asks this question. Can you read that again, Eric?
Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?"
35, please, Palmer.
Pilate answered, "I am a Jew. You are our own nation, and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?"
Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world."
Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, for this purpose I have come unto the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice."
Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Roy, could you do 39?
"But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So, do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
Then Pilate took Jesus and brought him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and arrayed him in a purple robe.
They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands.
Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him."
So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man."
When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him."
Then the Jews answered them, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God."
When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid.
He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Could you do 10 for us, Roy? Yeah, verse 10.
So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?"
Yeah.
Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin."
From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha.
Now it was the day of preparation for Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king."
They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!"
Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
There you go. So that's how that scene ends, with Pilate and Jesus. We don't see Pilate and Jesus again. He delivers him over to be crucified. The clip that I want to show today isn't particular, it's not as long as last week's, but we get this scene in full, of course. So it starts with a prayer from the chorus. "Christ who makes us holy or blessed, committed no evil deed. For us, he was taken in the night like a thief, led before godless people and falsely accused, scorned, shamed, and spat on, as the scripture says."
Thank you. sagte, da deutete, welches Todes ersterben würde. Da ging Pilatus wieder hinein in das Richthaus und rief Jesus und sprach zu ihm: Bist du der Judenkönig? Jesus antwortete: sprach Pilatus zu ihm: Wo bist du denn noch ein König? Jesus antwortete: Du sagst's, ich bin ein König. Ich bin dazu geboren,
ich euch einen losgebe. Wollt ihr nun, dass ich euch der Judenkönig losgebe?
So what's one thing that you notice about the tone of the choir when it's about to come in? It's about to come in. What tone do you hear? Or what sense or what feeling when the choir comes in shouting?
Forceful.
Forceful. I was thinking of the word urgent. This thing needs to happen. It's taken too long.
Yeah, it's almost like a tempest.
A tempest. Yeah. And he does that so well. Right? It's not just a request. Kill him. Let my screams push you to do this. And we're going to hear it right now, once again. So he just said, do you wish now, we're at bottom of page 5, that I release the king of the Jews to you. It's a bad translation, right? Barabbas was a murderer, and even in the German you could hear Mörder, and yet the translation on the bottom is he was a bandit. But you just got to put up with it.
Oh.
This just keeps repeating. This is a long piece, so I'm going to, but you got most of it. But did you see the calmness of the previous one and then the rush of this one, where the previous one says things just as gory? Contemplate my soul. This is on bottom of page 6. With anxious pleasure, with bitter joy and half-constricted heart, your highest good in Jesus suffering, how for you out of the thorns that pierce him, the tiny keys of heaven. Maybe that's the largest German word that Bach uses here, if you see on the left there. The keys, the little keys of heaven bloom. You can pluck much sweet fruit from his wormwood, therefore gaze without pause on him. Right? He's not even talking about the cross yet. He's just talking about the little... What's the tiny keys of heavens that are blooming? What's he actually talking about? Think about the scene. Sure, but what are the keys that are blooming? What are the thorns forming?
Droplets of blood.
Droplets of blood. These are your little keys of heaven that are blooming on his back. Therefore, gaze without pause on him. And all this is pretty calm, as you heard. And then you get to this piece now, and there's this, and it starts with the same verb. Gaze, not the same verb, but the same idea. Gaze without pause, and then you start, consider, look without pause, how his blood-stained back in every aspect is like heaven, in which after the watery deluge of the flood of our sins was released, the most beautiful rainbow as God's sign of grace was placed. It's just beautiful stuff. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. So right after this, yep, we're right at 21a now.
Von Dornen und setzten sie auf sein Haupt und legten ihm ein Purpurkleid an und sprachen.
This is actually one of my favorite little pieces from this passion because it actually sounds like what they're talking about. Right, so the soldiers are saying, "Hail to you, King of the Jews," and it sounds exactly what you'd hear on Palm Sunday. Like, it's festive, it's wonderful. The king is here. Bring the best choir, bring the best music. This is perfect. Yet it's completely not what they're talking about. Bach chooses to do an actual welcome to the king, music that welcomes a king to a hall, and yet that's not at all what's really... That's what's not what's meant to come out of these soldiers' voices. So he plays with the text that way.
Und die Kriegsknechte flochten eine Krone von Dornen und setzten sie auf sein Haupt und legten ihm ein Purpurkleid an und sprachen.
Thank you.
im Backen streichen. Da ging Pilatus wieder heraus und sprach zu ihnen:
Seht, ich führe ihn heraus zu euch, dass ihr erkennet, dass ich keine Schuld an ihm finde.
Von oben herabgegeben.
törete, führete Jesus heraus und setzte sich auf den Richtstuhl an der Stätte, die da heißet Hochpflaster, auf Hebräisch aber Gabata. Es war aber der Rüsttag in Ostern und die sechste Stunde, und er sprach zu den Juden:
Sehet, das ist euer König.
Sie schrien aber:
So I don't know if you caught the very last thing that the choir sings on the top of page 12. We have no king but Caesar. They know they've won, so they're not shouting anymore or screaming in confusion as they were before. They're just saying, hey, we've got no king but Caesar. And that's like the death blow to them, because Caesar isn't really their king. If they're real Jews, they're waiting for the actual king to come. Right, the Davidic king. So they just say that, and the way it's portrayed is really beautiful. So that was him. So what, I know we're over a couple of minutes, but I want to ask what stood out to you before we close shop. What stood out in this scene, and how Bach portrays it in his Passion? What stood out in the scene with Pilate and Jesus and the crowd?
The chorus came across jubilant. So that's there. It was kind of, I like your word, tempest for them. It's just, it was like a whirlwind of them crazed.
Yeah.
And like happy. To,
right.
Just do this to you.
I like.
Is that why they think it's tempest?
That's exactly right. You saw probably the most. You saw the problematic, supposedly problematic part of St. John Passion today, right here. That was it. It's this, and it's interesting that scriptures say, and they shouted, crucify, crucify. Now, if scripture is infallible, that means they only said it twice. You see what I'm saying? See, this is where we get, oh, they just shouted in unison two times, crucify, crucify. Where this seems much more to the point, right? It's the image that I got. They're clearly screaming at the bottom, we want to get rid of this man. Yeah, I like that. Anybody else about comments on this?
Backswords, I mean, that aren't.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that. It's through your prison son of God.
Exactly.
Us.
Yes.
Your cellars have grown in grace, the saints are righteous for it, but not undergone servitude by slavery and eternity.
Those two last lines.
It's like the evangelist high, right?
Nice. That's right.
I love it with anxious pleasure, half constricted heart. I love it.
I don't want to say that, right? Like, it's. I don't want to say that the pleasure.
But we have, we do though. It's, but it's just, it is, there's, it doesn't feel quite right coming out of the lips.
Yeah. Yet he says these things. Oh, it's so crazy.
The only one who's like, I'm sure in all of this is Pilate.
That's so good. The only one unsure is Pilate. That's right. Does Jesus get really any time in this? Like, that's something that I just picked up. Jesus doesn't really get much time. His answers are compared to how the choir sings and the evangelist sings and how Pilate sings. Jesus just he's kind of, hear this in the right way, but he's almost like an afterthought when it comes to this choir singing so loudly and screaming and Pilate being unsure and the evangelist singing his heart out. Jesus is just like,
it's kind of like the first painting by Caravaggio. Let's go. Yeah, he's just sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. It's great. It's beautiful. Thank you for walking this journey with me and with Bach and this choir that's amazing, and with Carl Richter. John, he couldn't be here today. He told me he had a prior commitment, but he asked me when this was filmed, and it was last week. That's right. That's right. So just so I don't get it wrong, I did tell him. So it was filmed in 1970. In the Klosterkirche in Diesen, in the town of Diesen in Germany. So it's from 1970 is what I said. Yeah, 1970. That's right. And today, between the last time I saw you and today, I went out online and I got the. So you might have maybe noticed or maybe not noticed that the quality on this was a little higher than what I showed you last week, because what I showed you last week was from YouTube, and this week we're actually watching a nice quality DVD with nicer looking images where the lips actually match the sound perfectly, and not, there's not like a microsecond delay like we had. So anything, any last comments before we break and we go and we pray a little bit downstairs and go home? Cool, thank you guys. Next week, we will look at the actual crucifixion, because that's what's coming next. And then the week after Jesus is taken down from the cross. So how are those two scenes? Because those happen very quickly. We don't spend much time yet. Bach wants us to really focus now on the scene of his glorification, Jesus being glorified on the cross. So that's what we'll do next week. All right, I'll see you guys downstairs.